Well, good morning. It's Thursday morning. This is Reverend Kirk Andrus filling in for Pastor Woodson Moore, Ferreton Christian Center. And you've almost made it. Just got one more day, most of you, to finish your work week out. And I just want to encourage you that you've almost got there. Praise God. You know, there's something to be said for not quitting. It's not easy to always stay with things. I heard an old story one time about this group of mountain climbers. And it seemed like on the days they were not able to see the peak of the mountain, that they would have the least amount of progress. But when they could see the peak of that mountain, they would cover a lot more ground. I think that's what we need to do in our lives. We need to keep our eyes on the prize, our eyes on the goal. You know, I mentioned earlier this week how it's not always easy to be consecrated to the Lord or to serve Him. There's things that God asks us to do that are not always easy. And I think the thing that helps us through is to keep our eye on the prize, keep our eyes on the prize in the present. You know, there's a scripture that says godliness is profitable for the life that now is, as well as the life that that is to come. There is a reward for being godly now, if we'll stick with things and keep staying steady. But there's also the ultimate reward when we're in heaven and we are forever with the Lord. I'm going to be sharing today again from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. For this week, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I want you to take a moment and think about the world religions. Think about what is a common theme that many of these religions have. Well, one theme they have is a works righteousness, where there's a lot of things you have to do in order to please the deity or deities that are being worshipped, or to be welcomed in the group that is making all the rules. That's what you see a lot. But another theme you see in a lot of these world religions is men trying to become God. You see the exact reversal of that in Christianity. You see a God, God the Son, who was willing to become man. Now, think about what Jesus had to go through to be our Savior. The first thing he had to go through was to come into this world through a lowly manger birth. Talk about a step down. He was in the glory of heaven, and he came down to a poor, smelly stable, to a humble family. Then as he grew up, he had to flee. When he was about 2 years old, he had to go and flee for his life with his family because Herod, the evil king, was trying to kill him. He had to spend a lot of his growing up time in the secular society of Egypt that had a pantheon of false gods. And then he came back to Nazareth, where he spent the rest of his growing up. And he had to go through all the challenges that all of us face when we're growing up. Oh, he lived a perfect, sinless life. That's for absolute sure. We know that from Scripture. But he also faced the challenges that every one of us face. It says that he was tempted in every point, such as we are, yet, praise God, without sin. And he is also touched with the feeling of our infirmities, you know. He knows what physical pain is like. You know, Jesus suffered a tremendous amount of physical pain, particularly on the cross. He knows what it is like to suffer mental anguish. In Gethsemane, before the cross, when the burden of what and the magnitude, the full magnitude of what he was about to do was coming on him, as he began to really feel the burden of all the sins of the world for all time, the Bible says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And it can be scientifically proven that when a person is under the level of stress that Jesus must have been under, the blood vessels in a person's forehead can explode And when that happens, it looks like you have dark sweat, like drops of blood. And that's what Jesus experienced. You know, I've been under stress before. I've been challenged in that way before at different points in my life, but I never sweat drops of blood. Jesus had that burden on him. So when the Bible says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that he understands what we are going through, it means exactly that. And when you come to Jesus for help, when you come to him bringing your burden before him, I want you to know and realize, as sure as I'm sitting here right now, that Jesus understands and that Jesus deeply cares. We have to understand something about the nature of God. God does not want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't want that. He never did want that. He didn't even create hell for people. He created hell for the devil and his angels. But people are going there because they've decided to line themselves up with their father, the devil. But Jesus, through his suffering and through his death on his cross, his burial, and his resurrection, he paid the full price. Do you understand that when Jesus did what he did on the cross, he already has forgiven every person's sin, no matter how horrible, no matter how heinous that sin is? It is forgiven. People just have to receive it. People are going to hell today, and they don't have to because Jesus paid the price. I'm reminded of that familiar parable that Jesus taught when there was a man that was brought before this master that owed 10,000 talents. Let me put that in modern terms for you. That was a debt the size that man, if he lived forever, he could never have paid that debt. That debt was that huge. And this guy begs the master, please give me time and I will pay you all. And the truth of the matter is, this man had no hope of paying the debt. But what did the master do? The master forgave the debt and let the guy go. Now, there's a lot more to that story, but the point I want to make is this. That's what God has done for you. You owed a sin debt. You might still owe a sin debt that you don't have any hope of paying. See, you know, it's been asked, why does God make hell eternal? Hell's a horrible place where people are in the torment of flames forever and ever and ever. Why is it forever? Because the debt of sin they owe, they tried to pay it themselves. And the truth of the matter is, they're going to spend eternity paying that debt. That's why hell is eternal. But see, Jesus on the cross has paid your debt. If you're a believer out there, you need to think about that the next time you think about compromising, the next time you think about sinning, the next time you think about doing something that you don't think anybody else knows about. Let me tell you something. Jesus paid too high a price for your sin for you to be playing games with sin. Another thing we have to realize is that our actions are being watched. The example we set is being watched. It matters, in other words, how I live my life in front of other people. Because with my own life and my own example, I can actually discourage people from sinning, or I can encourage people from sinning. And remember, the debt of sin is higher than any that we can ever pay. Thank God for his mercy through Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you're a sinner out there, if you know you don't know God, or if you're saying, like a lot of people saying, I've been a pastor for a long time, I've been in the ministry for a long time, and I've heard so many people say to me, when you ask them about coming to church, they'll say, I'll think about it. Or if you tell them that they need to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, many people will say, well, I'm not ready to do that yet. Well, you know, I want to encourage you, you need to get ready, because there is coming a time where it's too late. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Why does it say now is the day of salvation? Because there is coming a time where it will be too late to be saved. Once you're dead, once your heart stops and you go into eternity, unless you're one of those fortunate few that get revived, you know, from that, It is too late. All you have to look forward to is eternity, and that eternity is going to be spent with the Lord in heaven or in hell with the devil. I want to encourage you sometime to read Revelation 20. So, you know, if you don't know the Lord, I want to encourage you to read that passage. And I'm not doing that to put fear into your heart. I'm doing it to warn you that there is a way of escape from this place of eternal torment, this place called hell, and it is through the blood and only through the blood, hallelujah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves you today, and he wants to set you free. I want to encourage you today to know that Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life, and he wants you for all eternity to be with him.